All right, now tonight I want you to be very serious and listen to what you're being taught, because God's going to give you something special at the end of the teaching. But you have to be taught before you can receive, all right? Every night God has given us something different and something special. And tonight's no different. I'm hoping that you take your prophetic words that God's been giving you and just really, really going over them, warring with them even, you know, so that they come to pass. They just come to pass. You don't seem to understand it. What God is doing is he's restructuring his whole body. He's just changing everything around. He's given new assignments, you know, and taking mantle off of one, giving it to another, and taking that mantle, giving it to the one, he took the other one off of. He's just changing everything around. I noticed that last night as he was given prophetic words and given offices. I said, well, now you're starting again. So that means he's restructuring the church. So be content with what he gives you. And don't worry, concerned what he's about, what he's given somebody else. Because he knows how he's wired you. And I'm hearing him say he knows how he's rewiring you. And he knows what you can carry and what you can't. All right? So I want you to keep that in mind. I just want to say something here. If you don't want to hear what God has to say, don't come up for a prophetic word. All right? Because we're not going to tell you what you want to hear. We're going to tell you, you know, because we're just sitting there and God just starts speaking, you know. Now, last night you heard how God used me. I'm not sitting there thinking about how to do that kind of stuff. I'm not that kind of a person. And so whatever he said, he said. And he meant what he said. And he's really answering your questions if you really sit down with your word and listen to it. He's answering your questions. You know, like I was telling Sister Reverend Nancy here, I said, when he gave her hers, he was saying how dynamic she is in the prayer closet. When she leaves the prayer closet, she gets to whining. And I said, I thought about Elijah, right? How he killed all the prophets and then ran to the cave and hid. He had a pity party. So, God knows where you're at. He knows what you're doing. And so he's going to talk to you at the place that you're in. All right? I don't know how to really encourage you to really get strength in the Lord and just keep holding on, because when he does do what he's going to do, you're going to be so amazed. And with this teaching I'm going to give you tonight, it's going to answer a whole lot of questions we talked about last night, all right? Father, I just thank you and I praise you, and I just want you right now just to wipe the slate clean. And Father God, just let them hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father, let them take the word deep down into their bosom and let them grow on that word. And as your angelic hosts are going to and fro throughout these chairs, Father, minister to your people in the depths that they are in. And don't leave not one of them stranded along the road. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've entitled this Power Through Fire Baptism, all right? I remember the first night, those two young men aren't here tonight, but when I went over to them, I've never seen that before. I said, told them the fire is under your feet and it's coming up your legs, all right? And then a little bit later when Astra was ministering, I told her to send fire into the person, and she did, and some of you back there caught it. So whenever I asked God what he wanted me to do tonight, he said, baptism of fire. So here we go. Now listen to what you're reading. When God passes you through fire, you will come out a better vessel to serve the water of life to people. When God passes you through fire, you will come out a better vessel to serve the water of life to people. If you are not satisfied with your present spiritual life and want to improve it, then you need the baptism of fire. And that's what God's going to give you at the end of this teaching. All right. The fire of God is falling in exponential ways to bring a cleansing, a purifying, a refining, and a sharpening. The fire of God is falling. All right. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Oreb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, there's God's double call. In the book of Samuel, when God called Samuel, it was Samuel, Samuel, another double call. All right. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where on thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. We find one of the most important events in Scripture, in this Scripture right here. The Bible has been divided into what Bible students call dispensations, which means different periods of time. The Bible has been divided into what Bible students, I'm sorry, this particular time signaled the beginning of what we call the dispensation of the law. It tells us about one man called Moses. People say a lot of things about the bush that refused to be consumed, because in the desert you find a lot of dry leaves, dry trees, cobwebs, bird nests, and all kinds of things that are inflammable. These things were in that bush. You know how the wind blows all the junk into bushes. While the fire was on, yet it was not consumed. They were good materials for fire, yet the fire rejected the bush and its contents as its own fuel supply. The fuel that supplied the energy of the fire was not from the bush. The fire sustained itself. Now, you really have to listen to this, because you're going to see what God's going to do with us. So it was not an ordinary fire. The focus of the fire was on Moses. Moses saw it, turned aside, and there he received his call. Moses saw it, turned aside, and there he received his call. And the Bible tells us that of all the prophets, there was none like Moses who spoke to God face to face. He was a very important man of God. If you read his history, you will find out that even the devil tried to kill him at a young age. Remember, they put him in the water. They put him in the water to hide him. Just as the devil tried to kill Jesus at a young age. Many prayer groups pray against the spirit of Herod. The spirit of Herod is a spirit that kills good things in infancy. Isn't that what the devil tries to do to our ministries? Herod was a man who killed all babies below 2 years old because he wanted to kill Jesus. The devil tried to kill Moses by the side of the water where they put him, but God prevented that. The devil tries to kill many people because he knows what God would do with their lives. So why do you think he's attacked Mary like he has? You're the devil. Moses went to the best university in the world because Egypt was the best center of knowledge in the world at that time. He was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He lived in the palace of the king. The incident we are now describing happened at Mount Oreb. Oreb means a waste or a wilderness. See, he went from the palace to the wilderness. Oreb means a waste or a wilderness. All peoples of God must, now listen to this, all peoples of God must pass through the wilderness, or what God calls your winter months. Moses passed through his own wilderness. Elijah did his own wilderness experience also. John the Baptist and even Jesus, our Lord, passed through their own wilderness. Jesus was there for 40 days and 40 nights. Now listen to this. All holy men of God and anybody at all who wants to be useful to God must get to that place in his life. The place where fire is burning the bush and the bush is not consumed. You're the bush, all right? And you have fire in you and it's consuming you, but it's not burning you. Moses died at the age of 120. He spent his first 40 years in Egypt. See, it's important that we see what happened to Moses here and how he spent his life. And then you can relate that to your own life and you won't be so discouraged. He spent his first 40 years in Egypt. It ended in disaster because he ended up as a murderer. Remember, he was in the king's palace, Pharaoh's palace, and then he ended up killing somebody. Why? Because he tried to use his own power. He tried to use the arm of flesh, which we know would always fail. He ran away from Egypt at the age of 40 to a place called Midian, and there he did the kind of job that Egyptians hate so much, their dirty job of a shepherd, which a graduate should not do. Remember, he graduated from the best university. He did not know that God was teaching him. Now listen to this. He did not know that God was teaching him the principles of shepherding. A time was coming when he would lead 3 million people in the wilderness. That's why he went on the backside of the desert. Just like Peter was first taught how to catch fish, and then he learned how to catch men. See, none of us want to go through the learning process. We want to go to A to Z and skip all the in-between, and it doesn't work that way. You have to go through the learning process. Moses saw the burning bush at 80. That was the moment he met God, and his life was never the same again. Now, so he went from 40 years and didn't meet God to 40 years later. His life became meaningful and now had a purpose. He knew why he was called. He discovered the purpose of God for his life. There are many people who do not know God's purpose for their lives, and as such, they are doing the wrong things, living the wrong way. So in summary, Moses spent the first 40 years of life thinking that he was somebody. He spent the second 40 years learning that he was nobody. And then he spent the last 40 years seeing what God could do with Mr. Nobody. Are y'all relating this to yourself? He did not know what to do until he came across the fire. You listening? Job 20:26, all darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall console him. Job discovered the fire that nobody prepared with fuel. It is people who have moved like this that can be useful to God in any form. When you finally discover the fire. Luke 3:16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And with fire. When we were baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? Nobody said anything about fire. When we baptize in our pool, we always say do fire too. But they don't do that on a normal basis. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Now, John the Baptist was a powerful messenger. The Bible tells us that his clothes were a leather belt and clothes woven from camel's hair, and his food was locust and honey. Jesus told us that amongst those born of women, none was greater than John the Baptist. All right? He was the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. A study of the life of John the Baptist reveals that he had a lot of wonderful qualities, and one unforgettable one was that he was very precise in everything that he did. I hate people who start a job and don't finish it. They get 3/4 done and let the rest of it go. That just drives me to distraction. Why do you do that? Why don't you take another hour and finish it? You know? Then what do you have? You have 10 unfinished jobs. And then you fuss because you have so much work to do. He said, John the Baptist said, I baptize, but my own baptism is with water. Somebody else is coming who shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. A lot of people know about water baptism. We thank God for it. Because when we were baptized in water, it is a symbol that we have died with Christ and resurrected again. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you may speak in tongues, you may prophesy, and all kinds of things may happen, but very few people know what we mean by baptism of fire. In fact, many who claim to know what it means do not really know. But verse 17 makes it very clear. Chaff is a refuse of corn in the straw of the corn. In those days in the land of Israel, when people wanted to remove the chaff from the corn, they would tread upon the corn until the chaff is removed. Then they would separate the chaff from the grain and burn it with fire, because if they do not burn it with fire, the wind would blow it into the grain which they had just cleaned. The wheat represents the good in our lives, that which is produced by the Holy Spirit. The chaff represents the evil in us produced by the flesh. The Lord knows how to separate the wheat from the chaff. It tells us all this is in the Bible, right? Sometimes when he does it to us, we would feel the heat in one particular area of our lives, which we love dearly and are not ready to let go. When God's trying to move all that chaff out of us, sometimes we just don't want to know. God, don't take that. I like that. But he's going to keep on until he gets it. We all have some items in the showroom of our lives that are not valuable to God. Remember, he said during this revival, he's going to bring everything up that's not his, and he wants us to give it to him so he can free us up of it. Where am I at? Okay, sometimes when God begins to touch these things, we complain that the pain is too much. In reality, it is refining heat of God that we feel and that we're complaining about. When God passes you through fire, you will come out a better vessel to serve the water of life to people. And now I'm cooking now. You can turn the heat down a little bit. When God passes you through fire, we've said it at the beginning, but we're saying it again. You will come out a better vessel to serve the water of life to people. God will use both cold and hot vessels. If you are in the house of God now and you are hot for the Lord, he will use you. And if you are cold, he will use you also. You may wonder how he may use you if you are cold. He will use you as an example for others not to follow. All right. He did this to the children of Israel many times. When they did the wrong thing, he disciplined them so that nobody would follow them. But if you are hot, he will use you to minister grace to others, and he will use you as an example for others to follow. All right. The only kind of people God will not use at all are the lukewarm people. He will just abandon them on the shelf. They will be stocked on the shelf like expired wares. You know, he just puts you on the shelf and forgets about you. Because he said, all right, I'm admonishing you to allow the fire of God to do a deep work within you tonight. When God ministers to you, I want you to let that fire do a really deep work within you. Now, this is an African story I read. A long time ago, Africa was thrown into heavy darkness. Human sacrifice was common, and a lot of horrible things happened. Anyone who wore good dresses did not wake up the next morning. People were afraid to call witches by name. They called them nicknames because they were afraid that they would die. In some places in this country, witches actually went about in the daytime. I didn't know they didn't go out in the daytime. People ground up day-old babies in mortars to use for medicine. Some people received up to 2,000 incisions, and there were many evil trees growing around. Sometimes when men of God now, cut these trees, blood would start coming out from them. Or sometimes the following morning, they would start growing again as if they did not cut them. People's lives were regulated by superstition. You could not whistle at night or call a snake by its name. Some hunters shot at animals which turned into human beings. Many rocks and stones demanded worship. If they were not worshipped, there was trouble. Isn't this dumb stuff? It's real, though. The people were told about a king who had a special cutlass which used to spark fire, and people were afraid of him. But then something happened. God raised up certain men in this country who received more than the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of speaking in tongues and body vibrations. I like the body vibrations. They received the baptism of fire. These men entered forbidden forest, stopped the killing of twins, silenced powerful demons, chased them out of their hiding places. One of these men went to this king and commanded the cutlass to be powerless, and a sparkling ceased immediately. Now, this is in a country where there's nothing but witchcraft going on, voodoo and stuff like that. But God raised up these mighty men who had the baptism of fire, and it's the baptism of fire that gives you the authority to do the miracles. I call this stuff miracles. All right, fire baptism. The blunt truth is that there are many people with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there are very few people who have received the baptism of fire. Those who have received the baptism of fire will not mind if somebody is annoying them or not. You guys need the baptism of fire. There are characters that you will note that you will. I'm sorry. There are characters that you will. It should be not notice in them. In other words, you won't pay attention to their little different things that they do. Virtually anywhere in the Old Testament that God appeared, fire was always present. If you look up the fire scriptures, God was always there. Fire symbolizes the presence of God, the unquenchable fire. All right? We remember the God of Elijah, the one that answered by fire. A piece of iron will not bend easily unless you push it into fire and it becomes hot. There's a purpose for this statement. If you do horseshoes or anything like that, you know what I'm talking about. The reason some people have not been bent is because there's no fire in them. That's why I said that. Amen? Come on. The reason some people have not been bent is because there's no fire in them. Therefore, God says, okay, if that is what you want, I will let you go that way. He's not going to force you to get the baptism of fire. He just won't. When you go through the baptism of fire, God will reschedule your life. In other words, he's going to change you. A lot of people are rescheduling their own lives. All right. A lot of people are rescheduling their own lives after their parents who made mistakes and are now in hellfire. This was a nice story about this Africa stuff. They say, because my daddy was a member of the place, I must be there and die there. And God is crying, be rescheduled, but they refuse to be rescheduled. They refuse to come out of the parents' sin. Amen? They refuse to come out of the generational curses, right? People hate change so much, but that is what brings progress. We have, you know, remember God told us, I'm changing you. I'm changing things in you, and you're at a different place, a strange place, and it's not familiar to you, and you're uncomfortable there because the change is taking place. And how many of us can say yes to that? When something different happens in our life, we get uncomfortable, and we want to go back to the old. And God said, no, you can't do that. It is because they have not passed through the baptism of fire. You know, that people don't want to change. And so God finds it difficult to bend them. Listen to that. It is because they have not passed through the baptism of fire, and so God finds it difficult to bend them. The Holy Spirit just backs off and leads them to their own devices. All right? The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he will not push himself on anybody. Always remember that. Raw gold just dug out of the earth never looks good. But when it is passed through the fire to remove the impurities, it comes out clean. How many times has God said, I put you in the furnace of affliction, you come out as pure gold? The reason unclean spirits and all kinds of things are still hiding in some people's lives is that there is no fire in them. We need this baptism of fire. We need the fire of God in our midst, and when it comes in, the promise of the word of God will come to pass. The demons will fade away and run out of their hiding places, because when the fire comes in, it does not spare the ants, the elephant, or the snake. It burns everything. You know, look at what it does in California. It just burns everything in sight. And this is whenever you get the baptism of fire and it goes in you, it burns every bit of chaff out of you. But many people are afraid of what will happen if they dare get on fire. If you're like that, you need to be rescheduled. This may be your final call. Excuse me. Fire would produce heat and make people hot. The reason some people are so slow when it comes to spiritual development in the things of God is that there is no fire, no baptism of fire. All they do is speak in tongues. How can unbelievers be running after you? A Christian girl's question. You are praying for a Christian husband and it is only married men and unbelievers who find you beautiful. Something is wrong somewhere. Something has to be burnt in your life to remove that magnet inviting evil people to you. Come on. Fire cooks. The reason some people make a big start and have poor finishing is because there is no fire. Fire symbolizes power, and lack of it means powerlessness. You're powerless, you know, if you don't have any fire. Fire produces light, and without it, there would be darkness. Have you received the baptism of fire? Ask yourself that tonight. Lack of this baptism is why many Christians are suffering. A Christian who is not interested in progress has no fire. A Christian who is not excited about the things of God has no fire. A Christian who gets weighed down by long prayer has no fire. If certain things are still coming upon you to press you down on your bed, is it because there is no fire? Witches and wizards roam around the house freely when they know that the person is cold. Some people are in a hurry to escape from God's presence. When they are in the house of God, they are always in a hurry to go. Why don't we quit singing? Why don't she shut up? Why do everybody have to go up there and get a prophetic choir? You go on and on and on, you know? What are you in a hurry to go out there and do? You know? You stay in the house of God, you get something in the house of God that lasts. To some, prayer and fasting is becoming very difficult because there is no fire. Don't wish for your prayer life to only improve, but for it to get on fire. Perhaps your Holy Ghost baptism is just speaking in tongues. You forget that there is a difference between your possessing the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit possessing you. The Holy Spirit will not possess you until you have passed through the baptism of fire. Because when the chaff is still there, it means that fire has not burnt it. That is why the Holy Spirit cannot possess you fully. It can only enter and operate in a little way. But for total possession, fire has to fall. Well, you have all to really get this in your spirit. Many are just conquerors, but not more than conquerors. The Bible says we're more than conquerors, right? But many are just conquerors, but not more than conquerors. Somebody who is more than conquerors will not only conquer, he will also take captives. And how many captives have you made for the Lord? You are still busy wearing tight, skimpy clothes so that everybody can see your shape. How many captives have you won for the Lord? I read an article the other day about why women wear low, you know, and everything's sticking out. Just trying to entice the men in the house of God. And the pastor wrote this. Said, why do you women think that you have to do this if you're a child of God? Why do you think you have to exploit your body? I asked the same question. I remember when I was the first, you know, not even born again, just started going to churches around where I moved here, and I was invited to a certain church. And, you know, I had a tight sweater on. But it was up here. I didn't think anything was wrong with it. And I had a skirt, you know, and the elders of the church come and told me, you cannot wear that sweater to church anymore. I said, why not? Well, it exposes your body. I said, well, okay, I won't wear that then. And I thought, well, it really didn't do all that. But yet, I found out there was a lot of lust in this church, and they didn't want the temptation. But that's fine. That's fine. I didn't mind changing my dress. Because we're not supposed to be a stumbling block to anybody. Amen? And I'm sorry, girls, some of you are a stumbling block to the men in the house of God. I know men have to get their eyes washed. You need to put the fire in their eyes. I know that. But they don't. So, you know, it's up to us not to tempt anybody, right? That's why I like these long tops they have now. They're longer in the back. Because some of you ladies, when you bend over, we see what kind of underwear you're wearing. It's a little bit embarrassing. That's why I said, get them covered quick. Because you know what happens? That does distract and it does take away the anointing. So we should be careful how we dress when we come into the house of God. All right? Lost my place after I got off on a tangent there. Many people are praying that they want to grow, but it is not coming from their hearts. All right? Something within them is saying, no, you cannot grow. It is lack of the baptism of fire that makes it difficult for people to run away from strange things and situations. You know, bad things. All right? When you receive the baptism of fire, three things will happen. Number one, Jeremiah 29 says, then I said, I will not make mention nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. In other words, he just had to preach. He just had to speak. You know, you wait till you get that fire in your bones because you'll say, God, I just want to sit down. And then you'll think about, no, what would I do if I couldn't preach, you know? That's what you'll do. What would I do if I couldn't do deliverances? You know, what would I do if I couldn't witness to people? You find if you really have fire in your bones, you'll find yourself doing it. You know that you would die, because your calling is to go out there and do the work for the Father. When you receive the baptism of fire, you cannot relax. It is not possible because the fire will not let you. You cannot see sinners and feel unconcerned. You would not be able to do without prayer, and you would find it difficult to be away from your Bible. You would want to sit down and read it through. That is what we call baptism of fire. In other words, you desire the deep things and the rich things of God. Amen. And the second thing is in 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You cannot stop preaching once you start, God. It just takes hold of you. Job 32:19 says, behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Amen. See, when you're sitting at home or even in church or at work, wherever, and all of a sudden you keep thinking about these things that you want to say to people about the Father. You know that fire is starting to get a little bit higher. And, you know, there's a burning in there, you know, because you're just constantly thinking about how God is going to use you, what God's going to use you to say. There's a fire starting there. Amen. The power of God would be burning within you. You will wake up in the night speaking in tongues. God will be talking to you and you will see what God wants you to do. You will not live in darkness or in semi-darkness. Catherine, does he get awake speaking in tongues? He speaks in tongues all the time. I was thinking about him. I thought, I wonder if he gets up speaking in tongues. How many of you have done that, though? I've done that. Got awake and I'm laying. I was having a vision, though, and then I'm speaking in tongues, you know, so. Have you received the baptism of fire? Now, we're going to tell you another story about Africa. A pregnant woman who had the baptism of fire went to the market. There she mistakenly stepped on what an idol worshiper displayed for sale. The idol worshiper jumped up and started to rain curses on her while she was saying that she was sorry. He cracked his sticks and fire began to come out of his mouth. This pregnant woman said, I quenched that fire in your mouth in the name of Jesus. And the fire quenched. The man said, what did you do now? And the woman said, I spoke to your fire in Jesus' name. And secondly, I returned all your curses back to you in Jesus' name. When the man heard this, he ran away. Now, listen to this. If the woman had no baptism of fire, it would have been a terrible day for her. In fact, the power of darkness could change her baby from there. This guy talks a little backward, but they would have taken her baby. The spirits would have. Unfortunately, a lot of people are becoming friends with fire extinguishers. What quenches the fire of God? This is a list of fire extinguishers. Lust, your imagination indulges uncleanness. Idolatry, if you permit anything to come between you, excuse me, your God, it becomes an idol. For example, your job, money, and so on. your cigarettes, your booze, your drugs. I got to add that in there too. Laziness, life of ease at home, and lack of zeal for the things of God, and hatred for long prayer sessions. These are fire extinguishers. Oversensitivity, bitterness rises quickly in the hearts of some people immediately when somebody disagrees with them. Judgmental spirit, gossip. All gossips are devil's advertisers. Selfishness, worry. This is when you are anxious about the future. Selfishness, this is when you ignore the interests of others and you only are only interested in yourself. Distraction, this is when you are unable to focus on Christ and you find it difficult to read the Bible and gain something from it. Lying, discouragement. Some people are easily discouraged. At the first sign of failure, they run away. They quit when things are hard. Abusive tongue. Some people cannot control their temper. Depression, this is when you allow despair to overtake you. You always think of your problems and withdraw from everybody when the Bible says, I will not despair, for I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Fear, all kinds of fear are in the lives of people. Procrastination, this is when you are always planning to go higher and dig deeper, but always postponing the day you will start. I think that one right there is a big one. Lack of sexual control, people in this category should forget about spiritual growth. The enemies of our soul have the most powerful scanning machines that you can think of. They can look and locate our weaknesses quickly. They struggle so much that people will not receive the baptism of fire. You know, the spirits will just keep you tormented. When the baptism of fire falls on a person, the person can prophesy for 5 hours nonstop. All right? Know if I could do that or not. Many things will be drawn out of the person's life. He or she would not have to pray to be delivered. I believe that too. I really do believe that. I keep saying it. If the fire of God would just consume us, you know, the chaff, those spirits are chaff, right? Then, you know, if the fire would fall and consume us, then those things, then we wouldn't have to go through a deliverance session, right? Come on. Do you call use of fire when you're doing deliverances? You do? Does it work? Okay. They said they do and it works, so there you go. He or she would not have to pray to be delivered. The fire will answer everything. All infirmities would disappear. When fire falls on cancer or whatever it may be, it would melt away because God did not create it with you. It is chaff and fire has to burn it. All right? These are just some things, but, you know, as you read some of these things, now, if you have sickness in your body, and don't go around and blame yourself for being in sin, because that's not, I remember when I first got born again, I just didn't get sick, and I got sick as a dog, and my pastor came up to my bedroom, and first thing he said to me and my first husband, he said, what kind of sin is she in? My husband said, she's not in any type of sin. She has to be in sin and she wouldn't be sick. I said, I am not either. And I was upset. You know, my feelings were because he said I was in sin and I wasn't. I know what happened because it was a deliverance church. And I went in there and we were praying for the people at the altar. And I prayed for this one woman and she got set free. And the devil had really used her mightily before. So, not knowing what I was doing, I got attacked and he made me sick. All right. But I only got sick for one day and then from that point on, it was fine. But I did get attacked because I was not aware. I just went in, you know, like a bull in a china shop. The word says it and I can do it. You know, I didn't look and see. There's consequences sometimes, you know. Right now, I want you to bow down your head. So do that. And begin to ask the Lord to forgive you any sin that would prevent the fire from falling upon you. Go, keep, go ahead and pray. I'm going to tell you this. During the altar call, the fire will fall and things will burn. And you will be catapulted to a higher realm. You will go from the position of weakness to that of power. When some people came against Elijah and extended the invitation of failure to him, he said, instead of me to come down, let fire come down. All right? So when some people came against Elijah and extended the invitation of failure to him, he said, instead of me to come down, let fire come down. And that was how 102 people were roasted on the ground. You read that's in your word. The third group of 51 people that came to him adopted a different approach because they were afraid to die. You know, we should have so much fire in us that people are afraid to come against us for fear that God will strike them dead. There's a story in the Bible, and there is a story in the Bible about the prophet. The children were making fun of him. They called him the bald head. And what did he do? Tell the bear to come out and consume him? Is that how it went? And the bear came out and ate him all up because the prophet said so. The prophet had fire in his bones. And when he spoke it, it happened. Are you listening? If we get that fire tonight, which God wants to do, when we speak, things are going to start happening. And when people are sick and we pray for the sick, they're going to start getting better. I don't know about you, but I'm really, really tired of praying for somebody that's sick and then they still stay sick. All right, when you are in Elijah's position, who is the enemy that can sit on your brain or your business? There would be no need for you to go to the hospital when you have the great physician. Amen. Now, these prayer points we have up there, we have that on a piece of paper that we're going to pass out to you right now. Somebody has them. You take these home. They're for your benefit to read at home. While she's passing them out, I'll read them. It says, Holy Ghost, fire, fall upon me in the name of Jesus. All strangers, loose your hold in the name of Jesus. O Lord, crucify me on your altar now in the name of Jesus. O Lord, set me on fire by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Everything that is cooperating with evil in my life, stop your cooperation in the name of Jesus. My life begins to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. All the negative things that I have been eating, I refuse to eat you anymore in Jesus' name. Fire from God, fall upon my life now in the name of Jesus. Stretch forth your hands and say this, Lord, put the head of my Goliath in my hands in the name of Jesus. I would suggest you do that right now. Stretch forth your hands and say, put the head of... Amen. All right. My enemies shall bow down before me in the name of Jesus. Oh God, make me a vessel of your power in the name of Jesus. Now, we've been asking God, why don't you do this? And God, why don't you do that? And God's waiting for you and I to get full baptized with the fire. And, you know, some of us were baptized with fire, and we've had it for years, but our flame's sort of getting a little bit extinguished, and we need to get the flame rekindled and brighter and so that it has strength and it has power, the fire within us. You know, I still want us to walk down the street, and when we pass somebody, they fall out in the spirit. And when they do that, their lives are changed. You know, or if you used to be when I go in a grocery store and I pass somebody, they say, what'd you just do to me? They say, I didn't do anything, but the fire inside of me did, and they were healed. You know, when people pass me, you walk by me in church, or I walk by people, their infirmities were immediately lifted off of them. Why? Because the fire was there. The anointing was there. All right? And then, you know, God's trying to bring all these gifts back into the church. They're there in you, but they're lying dormant because you let your fire go out. And we concentrated on so many other things, all the things we've been doing during the revival. And, you know, God's been telling me what to preach on. And I just think I'm just having a hard time breathing today. It's just awesome how God's put this thing all together. And how he's given us all these different anointings and all these different gifts. And then at the end, you know, he's going to catapult us out into the ministry. And we're going to see great signs, wonders, and miracles occur. You know, I know what God's told me is going to happen here. And I'm not even worried about that. I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is all of us in here getting everything that God wants us to have, that he's trying to equip us with, so he can use us as vessels of honor. Now, are you in the same boat that I'm in? Are we in unity here tonight? So if we're in unity here tonight, that we need this baptism of fire, right? All right, Sister Teresa, will you get them lined up? Because we need this baptism of fire so that we just don't come in here and people come in here sick and they leave the same. You know, you shouldn't even have to say anything. If God just says, you just go over there and just walk by that person and touch them. That's all you do. You don't need to tell anybody what you're doing. And you do that and that person's healed. That's the way we should be. We shouldn't have to stand here and make a big to-do about what God wants us to do. And so this is what I want you people to get in your spirit tonight, too. You don't have to be seen to be used as a vessel. Just listen to the voice of God. So go ahead, just receive this baptism of fire. It's not mine. It's God's.